This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. According to a recent Gallup poll, half of Americans say they were unengaged at work, and many of those unengaged workers said they were looking for a reason to care again.
Engagement is part of what goes into the secret sauce of workplace happiness. Our next guest says we have a right to be happy at work. We spend sometimes upwards of 40 hours each week of our life at work, so happiness matters. And things like friendly relationships, a sense of purpose, and a sense of hope can make a big difference.
Annie McKee is a senior fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. Her latest book is called How to Be Happy at Work, The Power of Purpose, Hope, and Friendship. Annie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Veronica and Rob.
Well, Annie, huge numbers of people say they are unhappy at work or they're unengaged. Why do you think that number is so high?
I think there are a lot of reasons that so many people are unhappy and some are downright miserable at work. Number one, somehow we've come to believe that we don't deserve to be happy at work, and that's flat out wrong. Of course we do. As you said, Rob, we spend upwards of a third of our waking lives at work, and if we waste that time in misery, then life, of course, is going to be unhappy as well. So that's number one. Number two, the reality is we're under a lot of pressure in our workplaces, 24/7, always on. It's really hard sometimes to dial it back. And third, sometimes we don't take responsibility for our own happiness and we point fingers or blame or expect somebody to give it to us.
Well, looking at the expectations we have, I mean, it is called work, and work by definition is not play, it's work. You know, it's something that you have to exert effort at. So do you think that, like you were saying, some of us feel like this isn't what work is for? You don't go to work to be happy, you go to work to make money.
Yeah, I think actually we do go to work to become fulfilled. If you think back to that first job or getting ready to take a job in, after college, or maybe even the second job, we're always excited about doing something important and we want to have impact on something that we care about. And most of us do that through our work, or at least we try to. So this notion that it's just a job and we're doing it to get money so we can be happy in the rest of our lives, research does not bear that out. First of all, money's important, of course. Ask anybody who doesn't have any. And I've been in situations in my life where I didn't have enough, and it's not good. But once we've got enough to make ends meet, to take care of our families, it doesn't satisfy us. We need more.
And how do we get there? How do we get from being someone who might be unengaged at the one level and on another, maybe we're just flat out miserable?
It starts with emotional intelligence, and in fact, it starts with self-awareness. We need to take time out to reflect, to think, to really kind of dig deep and ask the question, what matters to me? What are my values, and how can I live those values at work? What do I care about? How do I want to have impact on work, and how can I do more of that in my workplace? And by the way, it's not just people with jobs in noble professions like, you know, working as a physician or maybe working for an organization that provides aid in some part of the world that provides fulfillment. Research shows that we can find fulfillment no matter what we do. It's about mindset, and it's about looking at our work to find ways to live our values and to have impact.
Can you tell a story about that? How might that play out with someone?
Sure. I'll tell you two quick stories. One, research done by Amy Rusnewski at Yale is really interesting. She studied janitors in hospitals and other places, and you might say, oh boy, that's a hard job to really love and feel happy about. But she found that people who were doing that work, who saw their work as a way to provide for a healthy environment for patients and their families, really truly did feel fulfilled and happy on the job. In my own experience, in my early life, I had all sorts of jobs, you know, community organizing, cleaning people's houses, and this wasn't just to get through college. It was, unfortunately, a way of life for a while. And, you know, I was pretty down for a while, but I found, too, that when I directed my attention toward figuring out, A, what I was good at in these jobs, and then, B, how I could maximize my own enjoyment, and for me, it was getting to know some of the people that I worked with.
And speaking of knowing the people that you work with, that's a big one on your list. You say you need to have sort of your people, your tribe at work, and it doesn't pay to go in and just keep to yourself.
We've always been told, I think, that you're not supposed to have friends at work, that if you have friends, especially if you're a manager, your judgment will be clouded. And it is true that you have to be able to separate, especially when you have to have hard conversations and make decisions that affect people. But similarly, if you don't understand people, if you don't know what motivates them, if you don't know where they're coming from or what they care about or what they want to do, your judgment will be clouded there too. So I say let's throw out the myth that we don't need friends at work. We actually do. We spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and if we don't like the people in our workplace, chances are we're not getting up excited to go there. We've got to make a shift.
Do you think that these friends are on par with the friends in the other areas, the non-work areas of our life? Or should we, does it make sense to hold something back so you're not sharing all the personal details of your life with the people you work with? Or should you just go all in?
That's a great question. I don't think friendships at work have to be fraught with every single personal detail or every conflict you're experiencing in the rest of your lives. It does, however, require us to go a little bit beyond where most of us are in the workplace and learn to read people accurately, learn to understand what motivates them, learn to understand what they care about, learn to understand what values are important to them. And frankly, yes, we do need to find out a little bit about what they care about outside of work. But there's another way to get to know people and become friendly at work, and that's around the work itself. When we do something together collaboratively and we've got shared goals and we share why that work is important to us, why those goals are important to us, bonds form. And that's where you start feeling like we're in it together, that feeling of belonging, that feeling of companionship that is so important in friendships and work.
So if we're thinking about this on an individual level, it all makes sense. Everyone, it seems like, wants to be happier, but why should our bosses have anything at stake? Why should they care if we're happy?
Another great question. The reason our bosses ought to care about how we feel about the workplace and whether we're happy or not is because our feelings impact how we think. Our feelings impact the functioning of our brains. And if we want to be smart, then we've got to tend to how we feel in the workplace. Research in neuroscience and psychology show that when we're negative and cynical and scared and angry and frustrated, our brains literally shut down. And on the opposite side, when we're largely enthusiastic, optimistic, have an appropriate amount of stress, but not too much, our brains open up and we can take in more information, we make better decisions, we're more creative. So in the end, organizations are more successful when people are happy, just as individuals are more successful too.
Now, do you think that anyone in any job could be happier, or do you think there are some jobs that are just clunkers and you got to get out?
The research shows that people can find happiness in jobs that you would not expect we could find happiness. I do think there's a limit, however. I think when working conditions are inhumane, and I'm not talking about in extreme inhumanity that we might have think about when we think back on the Industrial Revolution and sweatshops and all that sort of thing, which, by the way, still exists today. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about workplaces where you're literally tied to your desk, or you can't even get up to use the restroom, that sort of thing. It is very hard, I think, to be happy when we can't meet our basic physical needs. Short of that, however, I think really truly we need to take charge of happiness and not wait for all of the problems in our workplaces to be fixed. They're not going to all be fixed. We will have those bosses we don't like. The cultures aren't always perfect in our workplace, and sometimes the workload is a little too heavy. So we have to look inside ourselves and see how we can shift our mindset, dig deep using self-awareness, that wonderful skill of self-awareness, to figure out what it is that matters to us, and then manage ourselves so that we direct our attention to what's important, that we stay optimistic, and we make choices about how do we spend our time.
Right, and you say, as you were getting at there, that happiness is a choice. And so let's say someone's listening now, and they are that person who's just miserable in their job. What are two or three solid steps that they can take to get to a better place?
First of all, if you're listening now and you haven't been happy in your job for a while, or there's some situations at work that are really making you unhappy or discontented, the first thing you can do is to take some time and really try to look objectively at what's going on. is your boss really a demon? Is he really evil? Is she really horrible? Or is that person experiencing some stress from their boss that maybe you don't see every day? Taking a little bit more realistic look at what's happening in the workplace is a great first step. Number two, try to remember what you liked about the job in the first place, and then look around and see if there are more opportunities to do more of that. What I find is that we often box ourselves in pretty well in the workplace, and we think we don't have very much power in terms of what we do or how we spend our time or the projects we get involved in. In fact, my experience with the folks that I've worked with and even my own personal experience is if we know what we're asking for and if we know why, we can often find more opportunities to do more of what we like.
And what if it's not in our job description? And so we go, okay, well, that's not what I'm hired to do. So, you know, the boss is just going to say no.
Well, will the boss say no? It's not always the case, actually. I think it's worth a try. Now, mind you, you've got to be really careful when you're approaching a boss to ask to do something different that's outside of our job description. We've got to make sure that it's somewhat realistic, that the work actually needs to be done, that in some way it will help the boss and help the organization. Do an analysis. But no, if what you want to do is going to help others, especially your boss, especially those around your boss, then, you know, you might have a shot at it.
And Annie, as we wrap up, you also say if you're unhappy and you're overworked and you're stressed, go ahead and eat lunch and don't do it in the office.
Take time for yourself. Eat lunch. Take a walk. Get out of there. It's Friday afternoon, Friday evening right now. Look forward to that weekend. We can't love our jobs if that's all we do.
Annie, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Annie McKee is a senior fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. Her latest book is called How to Be Happy at Work, The Power of Purpose, Hope, and Friendship.